The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
As you've been hearing, a final decision will be made by government early next week on whether or not to go ahead with the lifting of most of the restrictions on October 22nd. However, it now looks more likely that some of the restrictions will remain in place due to the surge in COVID cases and hospitalizations. So what will it mean for business, for brides, for clubbers, for diners? On the line now, Dave Brown, lead singer with Picture House, promoter Buzz O'Neill, Sarah Kennedy, who's founder of the Irish Wedding Blog, and Neil McDonald, the CEO of Ismay, will be joining us later to talk about the workplace and what's likely to happen there. But good morning, one and all. Dave, first of all, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I am very well. Let's talk about your business, because obviously weddings have been permitted and there are lots of guys in wedding bands around the place who've been making something of a living. What does this doubt over the 22nd mean to you?
Well, I think that, you know, from a wedding perspective, a lot of our clients and brides have moved their dates into next year anyway. And they had done that from earlier in the year. Weddings seem to be at the restricted numbers and the curfew that's in place. All music must be finished by 11:30 and all that seem to be going ahead quite smoothly at the moment. I wouldn't say we're back to capacity by any stretch of the imagination. We're starting to stutter back into work. I suppose their perspective of the 22nd would be more about that curfew being lifted and, you know, the traditional wedding being able to continue till 2 a.m. But it's more so felt, I think, by the original end of things, with Picture House, for example, and other original live bands or bands that play in venues that really do depend on, you know, 100% capacity, or at least the ability to do that. And I just think, from listening to a lot of the arguments over the last few days, Pat, and as much as, you know, I have to respect everybody's opinion and decisions and that they take and opinions that they have, it seems to be a bit one-sided when it comes to still people who are adversely affected livelihood-wise don't seem to be getting as much as a voice as you know, people on the public safety end of things. Now, again, it's a very precarious line and I don't want to step over each side of it. But, you know, it really people who have secure jobs and have been either earning all the way through it or have the ability to earn now must be cognizant of the fact that people's businesses are literally hanging on by a shoestring at the moment. Yes.
Now, Stephen Donnelly yesterday, the Minister for Health, he talked about the unvaccinated placing a disproportionate burden on the health service. I mean, in a perfect world, there'd be a simple resolution to all of this. Everyone gets vaccinated, even down to the five-year-olds. It limits infection and life goes on. It's not a perfect world. We don't have the go-ahead for vaccinations for 5 to 12-year-olds yet. But there is a resolution for adults, and that is that you test everybody who doesn't have a vaccination and life can continue.
Correct. I mean, I think that, you know, from what I can gather, I know that anecdotally, word on the street, and I'm sure from listening to your own program, Pat, you know that a lot of people are not getting asked for their cert when they go into places and stuff like that. And I think vigilance needs to be kind of at the fore with businesses, especially trying to survive during this time, that, you know, if we can make, I know it's two-tiered and I understand that argument as well. But it's very important to say, look, if we can open and everybody must show their cert, they must identify themselves as that's their cert, or they have a clear test, or, you know, basically the guidelines that are in place now, I can't see a reason why we can't open properly like we should be doing if we have those things in place and they are effective and operating properly.
Now, you know, there are some people who were what we call vaccine hesitant, particularly at the beginning when there were all these stories about blood clotting and so on, which turned out to be, yes, real, but very, very minuscule in numbers. And I suspect that many musicians, in the hope that they would get some sort of a bonus, a vaccine bonus, got themselves vaccinated in order that they could enjoy that bonus and ply their trade.
Correct. I mean, look, and this is a very personal opinion, Pat, I'm going to express next. I mean, I wasn't hesitant of getting the vaccine in the sense that, oh, and you know, I'm going to grow another arm or something like that. I was just kind of, you know, you did feel, and I suspect I'm not alone here, that I had to get it. You know, if it had been a choice thing, a realistic choice thing, in other words, you know, I can go to Brazil and get all of those injections or not go. Well, then I was kind of hesitant a little bit of not wanting to get it, but I had to get it for my business, and I had to get it for, you know, getting things to move forward. And I suppose anybody out there who feels that they got the vaccine and didn't even think for a second that, oh, maybe it's slightly risky because it's so new, I'm sure that crossed everybody's mind. It would have to. But yes, you're right. You're correct. I mean, we would have to get back to work. And I do feel now that people that are vaccine hesitant at the moment or worried about it, as much as I understand those worries and that kind of situation, you know, would not be back at work in the situation they're in had it not for everybody who did go out and get it. You know, I mean, I think that needs to be borne in mind as well.
Yeah, that the unvaccinated are protected by those. You know, the herd immunity were not quite there.
Well,
but
we wouldn't be, Pat. I mean, if everybody only, if there was a 30% or 40% uptake in the vaccine, let's say, I mean, we just wouldn't be out of the restrictions we're in. And people need to bear that in mind. We really wouldn't be out of restrictions yet.
We'd still be locked down. That's for sure. Buzz, what about your own business now and venues? Probably ordering stuff, getting ready to reopen, and now the spectre that some restrictions will remain. And, you know, the public health messages from Stephen Donnelly from the HSE are concerning. They are worried about the rising numbers. They are worried about pressure on those hospital beds. But last time you and I spoke, you said, look, bring on testing. So anyone who's vaccine hesitant or who can't for medical reasons get a vaccine, just get yourself tested before you come to our club and in you come. But there's some reluctance to do that on any kind of scale.
Yes, indeed. Good morning, Pat. You know, here we are a week out and, you know, I was in with you last week. And then we were pleading for some, you know, some structure, some information, some plan. And there is none. And we're staring down the barrel of finding out maybe 72 hours at best, possibly 48 hours before we're supposed to open, what guidelines and what infrastructure we need in place to reopen. And that's just not acceptable for our businesses. You know, are we opening at full capacity? If we are, we will then need to know a nightclub manager or owner would need to know how many staff he needs in, you know. The hospitality industry has been utterly drained during COVID, and many people are not coming back into the business. This is not going to in any way help that situation where there's no certainty around work or work hours.
I presume to give the HSE and the government and NPHET some sort of credit in this, if they were to take the decision, say, today, they'd probably say, don't open, just keep it as it is because the numbers are too high. They're delaying, they feel, as long as possible, in case they see that moderation in numbers, which had been predicted, but just hasn't happened yet.
Yes, but give us a scenario. Give us scenario A, B or C, and we'll come up with solution, you know, X, Y and Z. You know, we don't have that, you know. I mean, that's just not acceptable, you know.
You'd like them to say, look, if we have so many people in ICU, if we've so many people in hospital, if we've so many case numbers, then we do A, and we've different numbers in that equation, we do B, and if we've further differing numbers, we do C. That's what you want.
Precisely, yeah, absolutely. You know, we're not, you know, we know we're still in a public health pandemic. You know, we're not being unreasonable here. You know, our hearts do go out to everybody that's been touched by this pandemic. And, you know, people think that we're just banging the door to let us open, let's go crazy, there'll be another spike. That's not what we're asking for. We're asking for specific guidelines. We did say on specific dates. They gave us specific dates. And on a good faith basis, we want to reopen. You know, there are two scenarios that can get us reopen, and both those scenarios can be announced today, and that is vaccine passports. I really didn't understand why vaccine passports were just being dumped on October 22nd, and everyone in our industry raised an eyebrow at that, to be honest. But if that's the case, and people are, as you say, vaccine hesitant, there's no reason why we can't offer them another option, and that is to get on the spot antigen testing, or getting tested, let's say, that day. You know, there may be people who are fully vaccinated that are also asymptomatic and that are carriers and that will be coming to the club. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it isn't about discrimination. We want to be able to give people a choice, you know. Yeah. But to put in a system for testing for, as I said to you last week, for hundreds of thousands of people, that plan needs to be put in place, you know, 2 months ago or a month ago. Yeah. You know, not with 48 hours notice.
And that's the problem.
So testing is not an option. That's off the table now for next week.
Them to do that, you know, the system in other countries where they, in Germany, in Denmark particularly, we've been hearing about, where you have maybe something like a small marquee or a large tent where they have a testing facility. It could be run by commercial people under contract to the HSE, and there'd be a number of them dotted around the cities. There'd be a few in the large towns, perhaps. And if you want to go to a gig, you go along, you hang around after your test for 15 minutes, you get your little tick on your phone, and off you go. You can go to any venue in town. That's the way it has worked. You wonder whether they have the capacity or the appetite to mount something like that for this jurisdiction, or whether it's all too late, as you say.
Well, two words there, the nail on the head, capacity or appetite. You know, we've the capacity and an appetite to do it. It just seems that the government don't, or NPHET don't. You know, there is a report sitting there on testing, on rapid testing. And again, as I said to you last week, more reports sitting gathering dust on ministerial desks. You know, we're a business that has prided ourselves in running safe events for decades, but we can't do that with 48 hours notice. So that the whole idea of testing to reopen for next week is off the table from our point of view. At this stage, the only show in town now is vaccine passports.
All right, Buzz, look, thank you very much for joining us. Sarah joins me now on the line. Sarah Kennedy is founder of the Irish Wedding Blog. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, weddings have been on a roller coaster. I mean, the 50 people, 6 people to a wedding. Mm-hmm. Now, 100 people to a wedding and open season after the 22nd, which we don't know what mm-hmm. the results will be. What are you hearing from your brides and grooms-to-be?
So I think it's, again, that continuous roller coaster that we've had over the last 2 years. So I think most couples, really where they're feeling the pinch is they're a week out and they still don't know. So currently the numbers are at 100, and there isn't a huge amount of resistance around the 100 number, but the indication that they were given was that, well, you know, all restrictions will be lifted come 22nd. So they could have a whole ream of guests on standby that they'd like to invite, and they still don't know to this point, can they invite them? On the other side, there's some logistics around, you know, confirming the format of the day, about suppliers, particularly, you know, DJs playing into late nights. There's a few pieces of that. The main issue that couples have, really, they just really want to see, are they going to have what was a normal day? The majority of the chat I'm getting is really around the lifting of the curfew of the 11:30. And that seems to be the biggest issue at the moment. I think between the venues and brides, they've just gone through, you know, this whole scenario has been very draining across, you know, for suppliers and for brides and grooms to be. So I think that there's a very strong level of caution, and the general consensus is that plan for 100 guests, and if you get more, it's a bonus. But still, it's still a week out. Yeah. Just call it. If it's going to be 100, just call it. Yeah. If you're going to, you know, ease some level of restriction, then at least give an indication of it. You don't have to give the exact specifics yet, but, you know, it is very difficult for anyone to get organised a week out. And even with venues, they're trying to order their food in advance so that they make sure that they can feed everyone. And I've heard from a bride who's expecting to bring 200 people in the next two weeks' time to her wedding. And, you know, the reality is we just don't know. I don't think anyone can stand over that at the moment.
Now, the idea of 100 guests, a ceiling, and then perhaps more. To what extent have you discovered that it's been a kind of convenience for people to be able to limit the numbers to 100?
Oh, it's worked. It's worked very well. And for some couples that, you know, I think when, you know, I think couples got a big dose of perspective, we'll say, over the last 2 years, because when you have to strip a wedding back to its raw core and you have to say, okay, you know, who are my most important people that I want to have there rather than who I feel I should have there? People got a lot more realistic and a lot more ruthless with their wedding list. So, you know, I definitely see a lot more couples having this whole scenario, being able to turn around and fight off, you know, the distant cousins that they haven't seen in, you know, in 5 years, and feel obliged to invite. There seems to be a lot more of the easing of that kind of obligation and trying to be polite invite rather than actually just who are our most important people that we want around us.
And by the way, there are many people who hate going to weddings. I know there are people who love going to weddings, but there are others who actually dread it like the plague when they get an invitation.
Yeah, and they also can say now, look, we've got out of call, you know, some are getting, you know, RSVP saying that they're not going to be going to the wedding because they're still taking precautions around COVID. So it's working on both sides. The biggest difficulty that couples are having around guests are if there's guests that are overseas and there's certain restrictions and there's some kind of complexity depending on the location that they're coming from. And also still an awful lot of upset to be fair to a lot of Ireland, there's been a lot of vigilance around getting vaccinated and, we have very high numbers of vaccinations, whereas in other countries they haven't been as proactive. So particularly what you're seeing is guests that are coming over from the UK. I have a lot of brides that are really worried, bridesmaids, groomsmen that are coming over that have refused to be vaccinated, and now they're coming into the wedding. And while the UK, it feels quite normal over there and restrictions have been eased, you know, a good while ago, we're still trying to adapt and trying to learn and trying to navigate our way through it.
Yeah, so but don't forget, over there, they have still very, very, very high numbers.
Of course.
And the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, said it's our proximity to the UK, and that obviously means Northern Ireland, which has a different set of restrictions and a different timetable and a different attitude. For example, you know, the Mr. Given up there was saying no to vaccine passports. So our proximity to the UK, both across the Irish Sea and north of the border, is one of the reasons why, although we have a high vaccination rate, we have a very high case load as well.
Of course. And I think, like, I spoke to one bride there, I think it was 2 weeks ago, where she had to make a decision to actually turn around to one of her bridesmaids who lives in the UK and said, I can't have you at my wedding.
Yeah.
Like, and there's decisions that people are making out of, like, I can't have my, you know, I can't have my granny, like, even though my granny is fully vaccinated, you can still get this, and it can still be quite, you know, debilitating. So I think it is going to be very difficult. And to that point that, you know, we're living in our country, we can only go by what we see around in our own environment, and safety is at the front of that. Nobody wants a wedding where there's you know, they pin back to the wedding that there's been an outbreak and guests are vulnerable, and nor does any venue or supplier want to be, you know, associated or contract anything and keep everything safe. So it is. There's some complexities just under the scenes that are going on at weddings, because you've got a large event and there isn't really that framework around it in the same sense that you would have with some of the other countries and how they're running events.
By the way, it's interesting that in the UK, in anticipation of the midterm break, they're changing their testing regime. If you're flying overseas and you don't have the vaccine passport, because the EU offers a vaccine passport, I'm not sure what the UK is offering, but they certainly don't have the COVID cert that the UK has. They're saying antigen testing will be fine rather than PCR testing. That's just a by the way. Finally, Sarah, I should ask you, Dave mentioned in passing that many of the people that he hears about who are planning weddings have just bump them into 2022 because it was the kind of the precautionary principle, rather than have this stop go, let's hope by 2022 it's go, so we'll have the wedding then. And that must lead to a huge demand for venues and dates and all the rest of it.
Yeah, it's completely put pressure. I think I saw a stat that there's something like 40,000 weddings expected next year, so which would be double the normal volume. So, yeah, that has, like, I'm just constantly seeing people saying, oh, my band, I couldn't get them, they're booked out, and I can't get this, and I can't get that, they're all booked out. You are seeing that, but there is still, like, I'm still hearing from venues across the country, they still have availability. You know, there are bands and there's still hairdressers, makeup artists who are still taking bookings for next year. So all is not lost. You just have to really shop around and know where to look. But the reality is that the prices have gone up, which is the normal when the
supply and demand. Absolutely. The law of supply and demand, one of the oldest rules of economics. Sarah, thank you very much for joining us. Sarah Kennedy, founder of the Irish Wedding Blog. Listening to those conversations, Neil McDonald, CEO of ISMI. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the question is, what rules and regulations will be there for the return to work? Because it was all systems go scheduled for the 22nd. Do you think it'll be different?
Well, we sincerely hope not. We are conscious that numbers are rising. But I mean, I certainly took heart from the remarks from Philip Nolan in Neffet there the other day that said, you know, yes, we have rising case numbers, but the reopening must continue as scheduled. You know, COVID-19 is a coronavirus. It's going to be with us for many, many years to come. We have a highly vaccinated population. We need now to be cashing in that dividend. We cannot react to every movement in the numbers by saying we're going to have to bring in some sort of shutdown. Other economies are already far more open than we are at lower levels of vaccination.
Are you saying all restrictions off? In terms of the workplace?
What we're saying is we need to proceed as planned. And if we have to introduce precautions, let them be sensible precautions. I know no one's done as much work on the issue of antigen testing and the lack thereof in this economy than you, Pat. So there are sensible precautions that we can take in an employment, in a match going, concert going, nightclub going scenario without shutting down the economy. All we need is a little bit of notice, a little bit of time for employers and businesses to put these precautions in place.
Now, can you, as an employer, for example, insist on, you can't ask whether people are vaccinated, we know that. But can you say we want you to take an antigen test routinely, and then someone might flash their COVID cert and say, well, I don't need to because I'm doubly vaccinated, or they might flash nothing and just go ahead with the antigen test. It's, a 15-minute job before you know, yay or nay, that you're infectious. Can you ask your employees to do that?
Well, to be fair, this was one area that the latest, the updated Work Safely protocol does allow. So the protocol does put in place a regime that is permissive of workplace antigen testing, which, if you think about it, is just an extension of employers' duties under the Safety, Health and Welfare at Work Act. We've always been bound by that because, you know, whatever we're going through in COVID, people seem to forget that the Safety, Health and Welfare at Work Act allows employers to be prosecuted and, if necessary, imprisoned. You know, it's a serious piece of legislation.
So in order you may have people who say, I'm not taking one of those tests, but in order to protect the rest of your employees, which is your duty as an employer, you might have to insist.
Absolutely. It's no different to someone who, for example, works at height and refuses to wear a harness. You know, you would not be allowed to let a person like that work at height because they feel they have some sort of personal right not to put on the equipment that the employer provides. That's not the way the law works.
Yeah, because they might fall on the fella down below and kill him while they're killing themselves. All right, look, Neil, thank you very much for joining us and participating in that conversation, which is really speculative because we won't know until next week exactly what the government is proposal. We've been hearing from Dave Brown, lead singer with Picture House, promoter Buzz O'Neill, Sarah Kennedy, founder of the Irish Wedding Blog, and that last voice, Neil McDonald, CEO of ISMI.